Good morning. This is Dewitt Almashet. He's here from Ethiopia, Africa, from the orphanage. And he'd like to say a prayer in Aramaic. And then after he reads his prayer, then I'll say the prayer in English. So he'd like to pray now.
Let's pray. በሰማይ ሰማያት የምትኖር በክብር ያለ ቅዱስ ዘላለማዊ እግዚአብሔር አምላክ እግዚአብሔር አብ እግዚአብሔር ወልድ እግዚአብሔር መንፈስ ቅዱስ በዚህ ስፍራ እንደ ፍቃድህ በመገኘታችን እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ በዚህ ስፍራ ያሉትን ህዝቦችና ልጆችህን እንድትባርክ እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ ጸጋ በስቶልን በዚህ ስፍራ እንድንገኝ ስለሆነ እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ ድንቅ ስራህን ፍጥረትህን እንስሳቶችህን ውቅያኖሶችህን አይቼ እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ ድንቅ አምላክ መሆንህን እንዳመሰግን እግዚአብሔር ሆይ ከፍ እንዳደርግህ ድንቅ ስራህ እግዚአብሔር ሆይ ለዓለም ሁሉ እንዲታይ በእኔ በባሪያ በደካማ ልጅ እንድትመሰገን እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ እድል ፋንታ ስለሆንከኝ አመሰግንሃለሁ። እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ አሁንም ባሪያህ ቆሞ በሚናገርበት ጊዜ እግዚአብሔር ሆይ ለህዝብህ ይጠቅማል ይሆናል ያልከውን መልእክት በመንፈስ ቅዱስ አማካኝነት እንድታስተላልፍ እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ በከፍታ አንተን እንዲያመሰግኑ አንተ ብቻ ከፍ ከፍ እንድትል አንተ በዚህ ስፍራ እንድትገኝ እግዚአብሔር ሆይ ለምንሃለሁ። እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ በዚህ ቸርች ያሉትን ህዝቦች በሙሉ እንድትባርክ ህዝባቸውን እንድትባርክ ለሌሎች ብርሃን መሆን እንዲችሉ በተለየ መልኩ መንፈስ ቅዱስ እንዲነካቸው ለምንሃለሁ። እግዚአብሔር አምላክ ሆይ እንደድንቅ ሁኔታ ህምራን ስለሰጠህን ሰንበት አመሰግንሃለሁ። አንተ ከኛ ጋር አሁን በአንድ ልጅህ በኢየሱስ ስም አሜን።
Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the special holy Sabbath day. I praise you, Lord, for your beautiful creations and for all your precious works. I have seen your wonderful big oceans, lakes, rivers, land animals, and your sea creatures, and I've realized how great and big you are. You are perfect on your works. Let everything that has breath praise you, O Lord. Please, I ask you to be among us and speak to us, and let your Holy Spirit touch our hearts and do your glorious work. Please bless your people and this church so others can come and join your kingdom. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling each of your children from different parts of the world, from different tribes and nations. I, little fellow of your glory, glorify your name this morning with your people, and please guide me with your wisdom while I speak and share your message to this congregation. Thank you, God, again for your daily safety, protection, and mercy on us. I ask you all this in your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you for the special song. The song Amazing Grace always brought me closer to God, and I love that song. And it always reminds me the work of Jesus and how he calls me. I'm very glad today to be here and to stand in front of you and speak God's glorious work and to share you about God's miracle work in Africa, especially in Ethiopia. And I know that I don't have lots of words to tell you. I am very poor in English, but my few messages will touch your heart, and God can speak and multiply the word to you. So pray on your heart. My topic that I choose for my sermon today is said, one child matters for Jesus. One child matters for you and Jesus. The main verse is found in Matthew from our Bible, Matthew 25, chapter 25, verse 31. I'll read that in the name of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then He will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit in the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of this, my brothers, you did it to me." Amen? Yeah. When I read my Bible, the verse from the chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, it always shows me the signs of the end times, and it reminds me I should have to be always aware and waiting the desire of the age, Jesus. And I'm always filled with hope and smile, because that chapter tells me all about my eternal home and about my future. Are you ready to meet Jesus face to face like me? Yes, I am sure you are waiting for him, and our forefathers were waiting for him, and I feel Jesus will be coming on our age. That's what I am praying. Even if I didn't see him, I'll die for him. That's my wish. On this chapter, Jesus is teaching his disciples and the people on that time 5 points that he wants all of us to address the nation and to share the gospel and to help other peoples in all over the world. "He is coming with glory," said. When I see about the glory of his coming, I cannot imagine how that is going to be happen. But in Matthew chapter 24 on verse 30, it said, I'll read that. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. On Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, the last statement, it said, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. With power and great glory. And Jesus will send his angels to different directions of the world, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west, to call all his elects to bring them to him. They will go to Ethiopia, they will go to Africa, they will go to the Asia, and they will collect his people. The angels will do that work for Jesus, and he will give them the last judgment. So Jesus will send his angels always for each of us to protect us, to lead us, to guide us on his way. We are not always standing by ourselves. It's His grace is always keeping us with His, keeping us to go with mercy and leading us in a wonderful ways. When we try to stand by ourselves, when we try to depend on people, when we try to look our eyes on other people, we try falling and parting from Jesus. But when we make our eyes to heaven, when we see Jesus always, when we see His cross and Jesus, He always, like a magnetic power, He always pulling us to Him. And the king has told them to his disciple, our king is Jesus. He told us, he told his disciple and the people and for all of us on the Matthew chapter 25, the verse that I already read, he pointed 5 points that touched my heart. One, he talked about hunger, and he talked about thirsty, and he talked to them about stranger, and about nakedness, and about prison. I'm wondering how Jesus mentioned those points. Jesus knows that those things are always living with us till He comes. And they will suffer many, many peoples, and they will suffer His children, so that He wants to remind the people, and He wants to talk His disciple to aware of those things. I won't try to point out those points. Have you ever been starved? I do. I have been starved for lots of days, and my people and lots of people in Africa during the civil war, they were in hunger. They were starved. You may remember about Ethiopia in 1985, there was great famine and drought, and lots of millions of people were dying because there was not rain for 3 years, no drop of rain, and all the rivers that was flowing all the year were dried out, and all the people, men, women, innocent children, and animals, the cattle, all were died. That was very sad. And there are children in Ethiopia who are looking to have food and starved and dying on the streets. Yes, there are. I'm not sure if in U.S. people are starved for some reasons. I can imagine how it's bad and how it makes weak people. And sometimes it pushes you to deny yourself and to curse God for His creation things. But if you trust on the Lord, and if you can see the hopes beyond the hunger, always you feel satisfied. And have you ever thirsty for water? And I'm sure people can live without food maybe for a week and 2 weeks, but they cannot live for 3 days without water. I think some of scientific studies or research have depicted these things. And water is a very important thing. And there are peoples who are thirsty for water, and there are children's little creatures of the Lord, wandering creatures of the Lord in Africa and in Ethiopia, they are thirsty. And the most important thing is that there are peoples who are thirsty for the living water. And I'm always happy that I am one of the people who's drinking from the thirsty, from the living water. There is, when you see in John, in the chapter, the book of John, chapter 4, and verse 13 and 14, said, John, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, said, Jesus said, when Jesus was talking, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There are lots of people, there are lots of children in the streets, in the corners of buildings, who are looking for the eternal life. They cannot come to the well of the eternal life. We have a job to bring those people. We have a job to reach out those children and the people in different places who are thirsty for the living water as well as for the body water. We can make a difference like Jesus' disciple to work out on such things. I'm not always in fear of few peoples. Jesus was, I think, on Jesus' time, there might be millions of population, but he didn't want to call all of them. He just called only 12 people. He knows that how he can use them. So he sent them to all over the world, and they reached out the gospel to the nation. So we can do that same thing. That's how God calls us also to do on His, for His glorious work. Have you ever been a stranger? I have been. I was a stranger for many years. When I was a kid, I was going with my family's different places because they were not stable. They were very poor families, so they were looking for a job and for food. So I have been seen many places. And in some of the places, there are some gangsters who are looking for money, and there are bad people who are trying to attack people. They did that on me and on my family. But I'm still alive. And so I know how it's bad when you go to other countries and if somebody is not welcoming you with good face, that's very bad. But I pray the Lord, it's my first time in my life to go out of Ethiopia. I came to U.S. A family invited me here. In spring, I stayed in Springfield. They welcomed me with warm greetings. They gave me a good house. I was staying there. I blessed. And I came here in Sutherland. And a good friend of mine and family, they take care of me with special way. They clothed me to stand like this, you know. So they welcomed me very well. It's a great hospitality that Jesus wants to do for us. I feel like at home. Jesus is also, he wants to teach us about how we can help strangers. And you remember in your Bible, you can see on the book of Hebrew, chapter 13, verse 12. Chapter 13, verse 12. It said, "Don't neglect to show hospitality to stranger, for thereby some have entertained angels unawareness." You remember who did those things, yeah? So Jesus is wanting us, when we got some strangers from different, from all over the world, he needs us to give them a good, we have to say them a good welcome and hug them and give them love that can bring them to Jesus. Because on the way we live, sometimes when we are preaching or by speaking God's word, we may not invite people to God's house. But by the way we live, we can witness, we can reach people. And also, he was teaching us about meekness. And what Jesus mentioned on those portions, most of them, they were happen on me. So I knew them very well. I was naked. I don't have clothes for many years. I was going to school with barefoot, without shoe, 8 to 10 miles a day, every day, going back for schooling in my elementary class. So I was naked, and I was on the streets, and I was sleeping on the corners of the buildings, and it's very cold. It's very cold. But there are children still in my country and in other places who are very homeless, naked, they don't have shoes and clothes, and still waiting for the help of God's people, and who want to be clothed to get warm, who want to become to orphanage and to have a warm place to sleep. There are children who are waiting to have food, shelter, so that they can grow with good purpose, in God's house, and can reach out His message to other people. Yes, there are. You can make a difference on working on such things. It's only the heart and the mind with the Holy Spirit that pushed you and committed you in that work. And I can say you, the cold and nakedness, how it breaks your bone and how it makes you dead. And still, many children are suffering and dying every day in the streets and under the bridge. Yes, you can clothe them and give them a shoe. You can give them a clothes. You can bring them from the street and put them in a warm place, in a warm bed, to the orphanage. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, there is a message that comes. Isaiah 58, 7, said, "It's not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." It's talking about another story, but it's telling us also to do and to help the poor who are this way. And he's telling that about prison, about sick people. Have you ever been sick in hospital or in your home? You can feel that if somebody come and visit you, you feel strong, you feel courage, you know? I have been sick for a few times and I was alone. Nobody came to me. But I was glad after I came to Jesus. I got lots of brothers and sisters. When I'm sick, everybody comes to me. And I visit other brothers. It makes them strong. And they feel better, you know? And there are peoples in my country who are preaching the truth, who are preaching the Bible. But in my country, the political situation was bad. And those who speak about God's presence and about God's who witness about God's existence, they were jailed. They were accused with a big kind of crime, because they preached the Bible, they preached Jesus, and they were in jail, prison for 20 and 30 years. And there are people who are doing good things and become to prison because they did a good thing. But they have a crown reward in heaven. But we need to go and visit people in prisons. And we can share them about the living God, and they will have a hope in that small house. Fortunately, I was not on prison. I just spent 2 days only my life in prison. But I can feel that how people, after they stay in prison, when they come out, most of them are becoming disabled and most of them are tortured. I know that is what happened on my father, because he was working for the government and those things would happen on him. And there are more and more brothers and sisters and men and women who happened them this. And so they left their children, they died, and their children, the innocent children, are becoming orphans. But there are children also and people who are sick, who need medical care. You know, in my country, we don't have hospitals, clinics, health stations like you people you have here. One hospital belongs to millions of people, and most of the population is living in the countryside. Most of them are living with God's grace. It's not the hospital or the clinics that make them stand. But I believe they need help. Most mothers, when they give birth, they are dying. They are losing their lives. They need clinics. Children are dying with HIV/AIDS and related things. We need to share and ease their burdens. What makes me always happy is that when I read my Bible in Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 4, I have always a hope of eternal hope. I have eternal hope because all those things are going to be thrown away. On Revelation 21, on verse 4, it said, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Amen. It's gonna happen in heaven. No more sickness, no more hunger, no more to be in prison, no more to be nagged. That always makes me happy. I want my people, I want in my country, the gospel to be preached and people and children to come to God's house so that they can join to God's kingdom, so you can shine for them. I know and I believe I have a faith on God's people. They can shine from US to Africa, because the big Jesus is inside you. God always wants us to work for His glorious thing and to light up to others so we can share the blessing with other people. And He always telling us that when we are giving, when we are blessing others, we will be blessed more and more. We have the promise in our book. In Proverbs, in Proverbs 19:17, it said, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed." So the King will call you, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And the King will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." One child is waiting for you. You want to be alone in heaven? You don't want others to come? You don't want others to join you? Your families, your brothers and sisters, and the other tribes and the other nations? God wants them also. He loves them. He loves me like He loves you. And God has a purpose on our life. And I want to tell you about my witness, about how God did a miracle thing in my life. I and two of my sisters came from a very poor family. We were depending on our father's job. He was working for the government, so we are always moving from one place to one place, from one place to another place, to the north, west, east, during our childhood time. I was probably 10, and my sisters were 7 and 5. And my father was going for field for long times. And I and two of my sisters and my mother were staying in the house, and we are far away from the city. And I'm helping my mother daily, bringing woods from the jungle that she can cook our food. And I was helping a lot to my mom, because my mom was, she had lots of health problems. She had heart cases and other chronic diseases, so that she cannot go to hospital. We cannot afford that things. But one day she was really very sick, and I was really worried. And my sisters were just sitting beside her bed, and they were crying. And I don't know about God, but I was wishing to help her, because she was pregnant that day. She was pregnant, and I think it was a time for her to give birth, to deliver. And I have seen lots of bleeding on her, so I cannot help her. I try to call people from the neighbors, and if they can help her, I called them, they came, and they tried to help her, because she's in the house, and we don't have clinics, health stations around. And she had lots of pain. I was crying, but they couldn't save her. She left me and two of my sisters just in the empty house, and she gone away forever, that I may see her in heaven. Then I was really becoming mad on that edge. We don't have food in the house, everything is empty, and I cannot afford my sisters with anything. So then after 2 days, my uncle, my older brother of my mom, he came to our house, and he saw everything. So then he took us to his home, including the one week baby boy, my small brother. He's alive. So then we start a new life in his house. He is also very poor and old. And then after a month, my father came. He expected things are as always. And when he came back, he couldn't believe what would happen on our mom. And then he discussed with my uncle, and he took us to his homeland, to his home country, to the northern part. It takes us 2 months to arrive there during that childhood time, because there was civil war, and there was a civil war between the government and the rebel groups, so we cannot cross the way, and all the money is gone, and the rebel people came and take all the money from my dad. So we just had risky life, but we made it after 2 months, and we left the baby boy with our uncle. And then again, we stayed with his sister, but my father's sister was not happy with us, because my mom is from different tribe and my dad is from the other tribe, so that they have a tribe conflict, and she don't want us to stay with her anymore. So then she was always biting us and snatching me, and I tried to go out to the street when I was 10, and then I just started leaving the street, finding other friends, and we were eating from the west of the hotel, and we were sleeping on the corners of the buildings, and I spent life in that way, and I come sometimes and visit my sisters. And one day, a friend of my father, he came and took me and two of my sisters to a nearby orphanage called El Shaddai Children's Orphanage, and we joined there, and it was a safe place for me and my sisters. We start schooling. Of course, the school is very far. We were traveling daily 10 miles, and we got food. We eat food three meals a day service, and we get a shelter and a bed to sleep. So we grew, we start growing physically, emotionally, spiritually with a good way. And that orphanage was a Christian orphanage. So then they were preaching, they were telling us about Jesus, about God. And I was really excited to know about God and to start reading about Bible. And then when I became grade 8, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I knew Jesus and other hundreds of orphans with me who lost their parents with HIV and with the war during that time, with famine. And I and the other hundreds of orphans and my sisters baptized and became Seventh-day Adventists. And I was amazed how God is calling me. He lost my parents and He brought me to the eternal life. That always makes me amazing, because God has His own way of calling. And then on grade 8, I got good grade and I was a clever student and I got Sabbath problems. So then the founders of the orphanage, they changed me to the capital city. There is another orphanage founding there called Les Parents Children's Orphanage. I joined there. Life was good for me there, because in the first orphanage, there was not electricity power. There is not school in that area. I was traveling long. And the bed we sleep and the other things are very, they are not very good. But it was good for me to save my life. When I came to the new orphanage, I got electricity. I got a new school just walking off 3 minutes. And I got library. And the church was big. I was involved in participating in the choir and singing in the choir and working on the Pathfinders and with youth groups. So I was blessed. And I finished my education and went, joined the university and got my BA degree in management. And then I was working for the government and I take off my sisters from the orphanage and I raised them with me, because thinking other children will have that chance to be saved from the street like me. And then I was working with the government, and one day the founder of New Hope Orphanage, Mr. Suleiman, calls me to work with him. And I say to him, this is a small orphanage. I cannot work there because I have my sisters. I should have to help myself and I should have to get money. And he told me, and I told him I want to pray on this. And I prayed and prayed, and God talked to me, go and help the orphans in New Hope. Even if you are getting small salary, just go and help. That's what I feel. And I decided to join New Hope Orphanage. That's amazing how God is doing a great thing in my life. I saved, my sister saved, and we become Adventists, and we become God's soldiers, and we are helping the orphans to be, you know, God's thing. So our orphanage established with this mission statement. And nowadays in Ethiopia, according to the UN statistics, we do have 4.5 million orphans in the country. Can you imagine? Most of those orphans are coming orphans because of the war, the HIV AIDS, the malaria and TB and other chronic diseases. Children are created. They don't know what happened to their family. But in every child, God has a purpose. And out of them, 1.2 orphans are living with are AIDS orphans, and 450,000 of those orphans are living with HIV AIDS. Innocent children are living with HIV AIDS. So most of those children are ending up as street beggars. They become exploited laborers. They become prostitutes and sex slaves. People are using them for their own interests. There are other bad people who exploited the kids, the children, and the children are malnourished and uneducated and physically and emotionally abused children. New Hope established in 2001 by Mr. Suleiman. He himself is an orphan and grew in an orphanage and handicapped person with his vision, he established New Hope to save other children's like he saved. And then he established an orphanage in Ethiopia, in Ambo. And when we do the study at that time, there was 450 orphans in that small area. But New Hope cannot help those orphans at that time. Only 39 kids were joined the orphanage. And most of the community around there are living with 5 to 25 US dollar with monthly income, who are begging the streets and doing living. So after those children came from the streets, most of them are from the Muslim background, and some of them are from pagan, they don't have religion, and some of them are from the Orthodox church, they have Orthodox religion. And after they joined the orphanage, those 39 kids, New Hope was helping them, providing them the care and support activities. We were providing them with food so that they start getting a food. We build them a building, and so they can get clean water for shower, and they have sanitation activities, and they got medical service, medical care, so that they no more dying with disease. The orphanage was helping the kids to have medication, and this is the first building built by the help of the Quiet Hour and other Christian people for those orphans. And a mission group came from US and helping in equipping the building. And the orphans are getting clothes and shoes with the help of the people from US, the donors, the sponsors, helping the children. And a warm place to sleep. They came from the streets and they are sleeping in the bed like I had. And they got some recreations. We are taking them once a year to some place to have fun and recreate. And I was so blessed when I came here. I never seen ocean in my life. I never seen sand dunes in my life, see animals. I see all those things. And I realized how God is big, how He has beautiful creations. So we are taking them to small places to admire God's creation. And they have a sport activity in the orphanage, so they are doing some sport things. And the big thing always that makes me happy and that we are giving the good service is that we are giving them religious activity. The orphans in the orphanage and the community students coming to the school, we are giving them always message from the gospel and preaching them and telling them about Jesus, so that most of the kids, almost more than 25 of the kids are already baptized, and more 10 kids are waiting to be baptized, and students from the community are starting studying Bible to be baptized. So this is Kenna. He is studying the mission report in the church of the orphanage, and that's the baptism ceremony in the river. So they are joining the glorious kingdom of God. And we are providing education. We have one school. We have a building of one school that goes from grade 1 to grade 5, actually from KG grade to grade 5, and students from the community are getting free education so that they will become self-reliant citizens and they will get and hear about Jesus. And this is how they are enrolling in the school, who never had a school opportunity before. And we are helping the community also with these are the community students. And this year, with the help of a Christian church in Montana, people came with mission group came to Ethiopia, the orphanage, and they built and they financed a big deep water well for the orphanage, because the orphanage have not its own water, so the kids would not get clean waters for sanitation and drinking and for vegetables and fruits. Then they came and they built water well, so we are, the orphanage is getting clean water and getting water for sanitation and for many, many things, because we were getting the water from far places, and women and children were going far areas to have a water. So with the help of the people, we got this water, and we built also a small water area for the community. The community were getting water by paying and traveling long places. But now they have got free water, the neighbors and the community around us. So that in that way we are reaching them, witnessing them about the living water. And we are giving them some trainings, how they are raising sheep. And this is the first building, and this is the school that already built, and students are enrolled. But our kids are now becoming to grade 6, and our school is goes only to grade 5. We are praying and asking God to get us one another school block, so that our kids can go to grade 6, 7, and 8, and the community students can come there. And we don't have our account is empty, but we have a faith on the Lord. He will fill that, and people will help for the second school, so that many children and orphans will be go to school and can study Bible. And this is the water tower that was built by the Christian community in Montana. They came and built this water. And this is a container that we are using at the administration office. And currently, our school year is starting on September. We are back ahead of you. We are now in 2002. You are in 2010. We have our own calendar. And our 2003 new year is coming on September 12. So we are going to start a new year. And we don't have any school for grade 6. But we were praying, and we got one container from ADRA, and we are waiting to transport that to the orphanage and to start at least grade 6 on that container, and waiting on the Lord's time to start the other building. And this is their bathroom facility. And so the school is there. We have got some books, some school supplies from the people of U.S., Last year, a group of people came from U.S. Actually, they are a family of that orphanage. Tim and Rhonda from the Springfield Church, and Chantel and Larry from your church. They came, they brought some educational staffs. They brought books with them. They brought other items for the orphanage. They came and they were doing lots of work in the orphanage. They did chairs and benches and other things for the kids and for the school. And the other people, mission group came and they fenced the compound. They did guard shacks, they did kitchens for the orphanage, that the orphanage never can do it. And we were blessed a lot, and the kids, the orphanage was blessed by their workings. So we have now lots of books and some educational stuff, but we don't have a place to sit to put that item. We have a school without library. You can imagine that a school without a library is just nothing. And we are waiting and praying to have a school library so that the kids can read all the spiritual and the educational materials for the reference. We don't have a laboratory. We don't have small clinics. And we are praying and to have this construction things. This is the second dormitory that's built. That's this second building was started last year when Tim and Rhonda and Larry and Shanti from this church, when they came, they contacted the Quiet Hour, and the Quiet Hour financed half of that building so that more 40 orphan children will come to the orphanage and will be witnessed again, will be grow, and they will be escaped from death so that they will live and will get the opportunity like other children got. And the second orphanage is now in the blocking stage, and we are waiting and praying to be finished in October with God's help. The Quiet Hour are told us they just financed 75% of that. We are waiting for the 25% of the financial fund to finish the house very soon and to have more 40 children from the street so that they can have the food, medical cares, school supplies, education, and religious things. And please pray and think in what way God wants you to use you. And this is our tripartite agreement with the government. And we have also a new upcoming project orphanage that is found near the capital city. And in that place, there are many, many HIV/AIDS orphans, children living with HIV. So we are planning, we acquired the land already, and we are planning to start a new orphanage for HIV-positive children because they are also God's children. One child matters for Jesus. And we are waiting for financial funds to start a new orphanage for HIV children. So that's in Lagadadi. This project, this is a new project in this area. There is no Adventist found in this around area. They are Muslims and Orthodox Church, and we are praying in this place one day a nation and children will be seeing about Jesus, and so that the community will come here. And there is not any school for the community over here. And this is a very nice place. It has a water and a river so that the orphanage in the future can generate income and it will go to self-sufficiency. So our future goal is that improving their housing conditions, improving their health, and opening educational access to the orphans there, and to start the new orphanage. But we have some challenges that we have faced and that stopping us from going forward. The shortage of financial funds and prices of the food, construction materials, and school supplies in Ethiopia are becoming expensive. And the cost of skilled workers, like teachers, are becoming expensive for us. And the limited knowledge of our orphanage. Our orphanage is not known by many churches and by many people. Only few churches in Oregon, your church and the Springfield Church are know about our orphanage. And in Montana, there is only one church that knows about orphanage. We have limited knowledge so that people's not helping and charity organizations are not helping us. So that you will be an ambassador for the orphanage and you will be an ambassador for Jesus, telling people about the orphanage. And the world economic crisis also affects the work because people are helping few money and the items and costs are increasing. So the solution that we put is that the continual sponsorship of our children. In Springfield, 26 children are sponsored by, we have a plan of $1 a day saving a child. $1 a day or $30 a month makes a difference in the life of children. It saves children. It will provide them their basic necessities, food, shelter, medical cares, and other things. If you people participated in helping $1 a day for one child or $30 a month, it will make a difference in the life of the orphans, the existing orphans and the new coming orphans. So we are asking you and telling you to participate in God's glorious work in sponsoring a child and in helping the constructions of the school and the dormitory and the new orphanage. And to be participated in mission groups, because we are not always seeking or looking for money. If you can come with your knowledge, with your skill, you can come and help the orphanage with everything of what you do. And you will be a blessing for the orphans there. You will do lots of things in the lives of the orphans there. You can come and preach about Jesus. That's great for the orphanage. You can come and construct small library or a house or a kitchen. That's a great help for the orphanage. You can teach the kids how to work. And we are much blessed by those people who came from here and serving Jesus there. And this is some of the sponsors when they are sending their Christmas gift to the orphans. We have mailbox. They send like this, and the kids, they never had a gift before, so that they are enjoying their gifts from their sponsors. And this is how the building was started. And our future goal is to generate income in the orphanage. We have a water now. We can start vegetables and fruits planting and bee farm producing honey, so that we'll give to the kids and it will reduce our food prices. That's what we are planning. But to start a dairy farm, beekeeping, and raising poultry, it takes fun, it needs financial help, so that the orphanage will stand by itself and can keep working and save more children. And the orphanage do that things by generating incomes, and it will be dependent and no more asking money from other donors. Donors will come just for preaching, and we are dreaming to have income generating projects. So you can be, this is our continued support from the volunteers, help the orphanage in many ways. Mission groups can come and participate in building works and in constructions, in health works, and mission students can come and teach in the orphanage. That will help a lot for the orphanage in Ethiopia. And finally, there is a 5 minutes video show that shows all the activity and when the kids are doing. And thank you for your patience. And I'm really happy today to share you about Ethiopia, about God's work there. So all these things are not happening incidentally. It's with God's purpose and plan. God is always using the little and the small people, the poor, so that he can work for his big things. If you people participated on his glorious thing, our work will be grow. And I believe you will make a difference. And those of you, the Holy Spirit talk to you and needs to help the orphanage, for further contact, you can contact Larry and Chantel in any ways that you want to help. It makes a difference, and one child matters for Jesus and for you. God bless you very much.